Turn in your hymn books to song number 95. Adam was getting real close to it there this morning. Not only in number, but he was getting close to it in spirit as well, the spirit of the songs. This song was written based on, as you can see at the bottom of the page there, or near the bottom of the page at the end of the song, it was written based on Psalm 90. And if you go and read that psalm and then immediately look at the words of the song, you can see the correlations or the comparisons. You can see the likeness. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. And then the final verse that is recorded here, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our guide while life shall last, and our eternal home. I'm glad we have a hope. I'm glad there's a hope. I'm glad that there's someone that we can trust, someone that we can believe in, someone that is trustworthy. A young man said to me after the funeral yesterday, said, Mr. Ziegler, you're a good man. And wasn't quite sure what he said, and I asked him to repeat it. And he said, I said that you're a good man. I turned to him, looked him right in the eye, and I said, if there's anything good, it's by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God. Because I have a hope in Him, because He is trustworthy. My thought this morning, as a title this morning, When God Doesn't Make Sense. God doesn't always make sense to you, to me, to a lot of people. Can you imagine? Go with me back to Genesis chapter 12. Can you imagine the feeling that Abram at that time had when God said to him, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Can you imagine? Some of you can't even begin to imagine, because you can't even begin to imagine leaving Martin County for any length of time. I know that. That's the way life is. And so you could probably sense this or feel this more than any of us, anybody else that has been around or traveled further and moved distance. Even me, traveling and moving so many times in my life, I still get a feeling here of, God, what are you doing? I'm just going to show you where to go, Abram. Just pack up your belongings and start walking, and I will guide every step, and I will point it out to you. There's not too many of us, if any of us, who could just easily do what Abram was asked to do. We don't really know the time frame, but in verse number 4, it tells us in verse 3 that God's voice stopped. In verse number 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. It's incredible. That wasn't the only time that Abraham had to face something that was senseless. As big as that was in his life, as life-changing as that was in his life, perhaps even greater than that was the time in Genesis chapter 2 where God again spoke to him. Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. That's verse number 2, 22. And in verse number 3, again, we don't know the time frame. We don't know all that goes on here. You know, the actual minutes or days in between. But it would indicate here by verse number 4, verse number 3, Abram arose early in the morning to obey what God was senselessly asking him to do. We would probably all have a consensus that that would be a senseless request. Every father here would groan under that request. God doesn't always make sense. The reason why God doesn't make sense is that because we see through a glass darkly, or we see through a darkened glass. We can't see clearly. Our visibility is limited. We are only seeing a portion. It's that time of year when some of us enjoy spotting for deer. My truck rides higher than in the other vehicles that we have. And so commonly we go spotting for deer, looking for deer in the truck because it rides higher. The problem with the truck is that it has the darkest tint in the windows. You can't see out of them at night. Even when you're sticking your hand out the window with a bright light shining the field, you still can't see through the darkened glass. You have to roll them down. Even if it's 0 degrees outside, you have to roll them down. It gets uncomfortable inside. You can be blaring, blasting the heat as high as it'll go and as high as the fan will go, trying to create a little bit. It still gets a little uncomfortable, but you have to roll the windows down if you're going to see clearly. Abraham was trusting in an invisible God. One who had spoke to him, had audibly shared words with Abraham in the midst of his day, in the midst of his night. God spoke to him and Abraham heard the voice of God. Jesus gives us a little bit of an insight into trust. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, he also, it's recorded as the gospel recorders wrote it down, it's recorded in Mark and recorded in Luke as well. 3 of the 4 gospel writers recorded this particular incident. Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, except ye be converted and become as little children. What does that mean when Jesus tells us to become like a child? Natalie is so trusting. She is so trusting. I could have her daddy stand up here in front of me where he is stepping right out, and I could throw her to him. She really wouldn't have a whole lot of fear, if any. She's just beginning to learn fear. She doesn't understand fear. When Jonathan was that age, he enjoyed being thrown as high as daddy could throw him. Flipped upside down and spun. He didn't have fear. He trusted. Oh, you see cousins or friends. She just doesn't, she trusts. You can do anything. You can hang on to her upside down, and she just simply trusts. Natalie's no different from every baby here, really. There's something about that baby when that child is born that we just immediately are drawn to them to provide and protect. What's the matter? Do you see some friends? We don't have problems with that, do we? Providing for them and protecting them. There's just something about that child and that trust that they have in us. I'll go back to Daddy, Mommy. So I don't know. She's enjoying this. Except we become as a little child when God doesn't make sense. I've heard it said more so in recent months than I have for a while, although it's been a cliche for a long time. And actually, probably, you probably have to be 30 years old or older, maybe even 40 years old or older, to really understand the cliche unless you have deliberately gone and studied the origin of the cliche. And there's some that have. But I've heard this cliche more so in recent months than what I have in a long time. But I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid. Drinking the Kool-Aid is a cliche that originated back in November of 1978 when Jim Jones convinced a number of people to drink Kool-Aid. Actually, it was Flavor-Aid, laced with cyanide. A religious man who was convinced that he was some kind of a Messiah, and he had convinced a group of people that he was the Messiah and that they needed to drink this Flavor-Aid laced or this cyanide laced Flavor-Aid in order to achieve some kind or some receive some kind of a blessing, some kind of reward. Some of them did it deliberately, willingly, while others were forced. 900 people swallowed the Kool-Aid that day. And it became a cliche, "I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid," indicating that they are not going to blindly believe and follow anybody or anything. The reality of it is we are following something or somebody. If we're not following God, then we are following something else. And what something else could that be? Bottom line, historical accounts prove it. Present day accounts prove it. that if we are not following God, then we are following self. That is what we set up as the image or the idol in which we want to believe. And self, look at how fragile self is. Even if I was the strongest man in the world, the strongest man that ever lived, perhaps it'd be possible that I would supersede the strength and the ability of Samson of old. Although I don't believe that he was a chiseled out, muscle-bound man, otherwise people would have believed in his strength in itself. But if my strength could go beyond the strength of Samson, and my wealth go beyond the wealth of Bill Gates, let's add a number of other people in there too, and my wealth go beyond the wealth of multiple people combined, would I be trustworthy? Would I be trustworthy? No, because the human arm will fail you. And wealth ends at death. You can't take it. So when somebody says, when we talk about following God and a blind trust in Him, it's not necessarily a blind trust. It's a choice to believe, because I realize that everything else is failure. Everything else is faulty. Everything else is weak. Somehow Abraham believed that and followed. I'm convinced, due in part to seeing so many people who have died with peace, and the record being given of so many others who have died with peace, knowing that God does all things well. In Acts chapter 5, Gamaliel is speaking. There was a situation that they were facing in that day, and that situation had to do with Christianity. And people were opposing Christianity because it was breaking down their religious statutes and boundaries and establishments. Gamaliel was wise enough to say this, and Luke was good enough to record it for us. Gamaliel said, "Refrain from these men, let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." God's been around for a long time. He's preserved His word a long time. And not just preserved His word from yesteryear, but He has continued to establish His word in every generation. It's not something that you and I have to go back decades or centuries or even a millennium or two ago to find some kind of fact to base our faith upon. But He has reestablished in every generation. Even if we look at the 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament that we are told about, even if we look at that, we still have to see that God established, because even through that, there were people who were looking for and focused on the coming of the Messiah. There were people all around. In every generation, His word has been reestablished. And And once again, you and I can look at people who have slipped off the scene of action that we have been familiar with, that we have been connected with, and we can know of a surety because of the faith that they had and the peace that they had at the crossing, that there is more to it than just drinking Kool-Aid. Because God is trustworthy. Even when humanly we don't think it makes sense. Even when we can't see because we're looking through a glass darkly. We trust in Him. It seemed to me as though Adam had selected songs this morning along that very same line of us focusing upon who God is even in the midst of sadness. Why? Why are those songs in existence? Because those songwriters experienced something and they knew something and they trusted in something. And that something that they trusted in was not the arm of flesh, but it was the arm of God, who will sustain us and will strengthen us and will be with us every step we take if we trust Him. Abraham became the father of many nations. We wouldn't think of the Jewish people the way we think of them with such respect and admiration and prayerfully consider them in our day if it wasn't for Abraham's obedience of taking that first step of faith, believing in the voice of the unseen God. Because he knew and believed in his heart that the arm of flesh would fail him, and the arm of God would save him. The Hebrew writer closes it out for us so very well. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher. He is faithful. Let's trust in Him. Let's stand together this morning. Thank you for your attendance and attention this morning. Trust God's blessings upon you. Forget our service tonight. I think the young people are planning something special. And look forward to being back tonight. Praise God. It's good to see Brother and Sister Webb here this morning. Brother Webb, would you dismiss us in prayer?